This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And we want to thank, of course, Keith Boyle, Jared Valenzuela, and Miles Heger for being a part of that last segment.
It's good to keep up on the local races.
Sure, why not? It's good to keep up on local things, correct?
That's correct. All, right, all
so that,
local things.
So that means our next segment, which is very local, we, I believe, have joining us on the phone line. First, in studio, Captain Lou, who has a nautical talk show every Sunday. Right, Captain?
Right. Every Sunday, 11 to noon, right here on 95.9 FM.
He's also a big fan of the TV show Wicked Tuna, right?
Oh, I love it.
Okay. Well, don't love it too much, because I want to make sure we get enough questions in for Captain Dave Marciano, who I believe is on the line. Captain, are you there?
Hey. Yes, I'm here. Good evening. How's it going tonight?
It's going pretty good. Hey, are you still up here in the area? There was a rumor that you might be at a boat show somewhere on the East Coast.
Oh, I'm heading to the Baltimore Boat Show on, Thursday. I think I arrived there to do appearances on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
No kidding.
Yeah. Look, I'm just living the dream, man. Not in a million years that I see all this happening. So I'm just kind of going with the flow, and I kind of go wherever the limo takes me.
I got to ask you, with your popularity, do people take a look at your last name and associate you with anybody else that we have here in Massachusetts?
No, not really. No, why? What are you getting at?
Well, I know that there was a famous boxer in Brockton, Massachusetts named Rocky Marciano.
I get that. I do get that a lot. And, real early when I was younger, long before the show, my grandfather taught me, people always ask, are you related? My grandfather taught me, well, I'm not related, but I taught him everything he knew.
That's awesome. I got to ask you, what is it like to share something that you've done since you were a kid with viewers, not for the first season, but this is the second season of Wicked Tuna?
I'll tell you, right? What it reminds me of is like the first time I watched my son play baseball, right?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I get out of doing this show and being part of the show. Something I took for granted, and I know a lot of you guys listening probably get out there and do tuna fishing too, we take it for granted. And then, to kind of share it with people who didn't know about it, didn't know it existed, and to hear how they like to watch the show, it kind of makes it fun all over again. And I guess, the best way to describe it is like, the first time when I watched my kid, play ball, It makes it fun all over again.
Hey, Dave, it's Captain Lou here. I've seen you many times at all these different fishing hearings. Do you still go to these meetings and fight for the tuna?
I do. I focused all of my attention on the groundfish fisheries traditionally. That was, because tuna is just a small part of my year.
I remember
when... I definitely don't attend meetings. When we moved to sectors and quotas, I was really disappointed. I fought that every step of the way. I knew it would be the end of the small boat industry. And unfortunately, it seems like I'm right on that aspect.
Once you
move to quotas, it just destroys the little guy.
You're always emotional at these hearings. I remember when the federal marshals were ready to escort you out of the building, Dave.
That was in my younger days. And they reminded me I'm welcome to attend, but no more flipping over tables or pounding on the benches or nothing. But... that was the old days. I think I even had hair back then. but then again, that's what 20 years of government regulation will do to you.
Do you feel that the government is kind of overstepping its bounds with a lot of the catch limits and them trying to invoke things here, especially?
It's all necessary to manage the fish stocks. It's a society. 25 years ago, the attitude was, we couldn't catch all the fish in the sea. Now, of course, as a society, we can have fishing, but we have to do it differently. Let's not forget, back then, cities like New York and Boston used to bring their trash out in the ocean, millions of pounds a day and dump it. As a society, we've come a long way. Who's overstepped their bounds is the non-government groups, the environmental groups, so the environmental terrorists, if you ask me. Those environmental organizations, Environmental Defense Fund, You know, the whole lot of them, they're large corporations, just like big oil corporations. And they're in this game to raise money. And, you know, they've really infiltrated the process. And I don't think they're doing the industry any favors, or the fish stocks for that matter. But that's just my humble opinion.
I gotta ask you, you know, first and foremost, kind of bringing things back to the TV show. What's it like to be the popular guy on the show?
It's really cool. It's very humbling because, you know, not in a million years in my life did I ever, you know, see this ever happening to me. You know what I mean? I'm just a fisherman. So it's really been literally the most humbling experience of my life to go to, like, the first boat show I ever did was the Atlantic City Boat Show. And I think I signed something like, you know, 2,000 autographs a day. And for me, that was just literally the most humbling thing I've ever done. It just truly amazes me, you know, that people would actually take time out of the day to, you know, come down and see me. It just blows my mind. And, you know, the kid fans are amazing. I can't believe all that stuff.
Hey, Dave, you know, do you really fight with each other or like you do on TV in real life?
You know, look, it's interesting. Like, for the past 20 years, all the guys in the show, like, I knew they were out there, but I really didn't interact with them. You know, I had my own clique of friends. In this business, there's probably 400 boats or more that participate. And, you know, I worked with my own little group. So, kind of for the show, they put us in a fishbowl together that's Wicked Tuna. Interesting. You know, out of all the guys in the show, one of the guys I'm really starting to get along with and becoming friends with is Tricky Dave over there.
Yeah.
.com.
Well, I got to ask you about Dave. Is Dave the villain any longer? Now, I remember from the first season, Dave seemed like he was ultimately the villain, but it seems as though this year you get a younger guy who seems to be more the villain, if anything.
You know, it does seem like that. And, you know, I know that kid, Tyler, you know, he can be, well, shall we say, a little bit abrasive, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, in all fairness, the kid's a good fisherman. He can catch fish. And, you know, he's treated me with nothing but respect. So maybe he's got issues with all those other guys. But if anything, that's helping me out because he's keeping them distracted.
Dave, in the most recent episode, we saw that you're battling with the sharks and you got whacked by that thresher shark. You still got that bruise? Or how long did it take for that bruise to go away?
It took about a month for that bruise to go away. And, you know, I swear, when I watched that, it hurt all over again. Like, I knew what was coming, you know, when we were watching that. And, you know, that's a prime example. You know how people always say, oh, these reality shows are scripted. Look, nothing's scripted. There's no way I would have done that for any amount of money.
And then you got that even. Hurt. Then you got even with the next shark you caught, the next thresher, you ate it. But what were those crumbs you were putting on it when you were cooking it?
Oh, those were sesame seeds. Look, that's my favorite way to cook anything like shark or tuna. It's a real simple recipe. I learned it from a chef from a restaurant down in Gloucester there. You just take soy sauce, mix some powdered wasabi with the soy sauce, marinate it for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and then sprinkle it with sesame seeds and cook it on the grill. Or, you know, you can pan fry it in a little olive oil if it's not grilling season.
And some people think it tastes like swordfish, right?
Oh, yeah. And shark is very good to stand alone. But without a doubt, like I said on the show, you know, those thresher sharks are definitely the veal cutlet of the shark family, in my opinion.
I got to ask you, is this year there's a leaderboard. Now, atop of the leaderboard this year, we have Dave Carraro, Tricky Dave, the FV, the tuna.com boat, and you got Tyler McLaughlin, who's sitting up there. You're not doing too bad. You've caught two so far. I mean, how do you feel about this, the way they're kind of evaluating and how the system is working out?
You know, look, we needed something. I get that. It's all part of the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I mean, look, a lot of these guys, for them, the whole issue is about how many fish they caught, right?
Yeah.
So they can run around and bang their chest and say, I caught X amount, I caught this, I caught that. That's never been my routine. I really honestly don't care where I wind up on the leaderboard. What's important to me is, did I run my business? Did I support my family? Did I get enough, you know, to turn the wheel and you know, call it a successful quarter for the business and move on to the next fishery? That ultimately is what's important to me. But don't forget now, we're only into episode size,
yep.
five. So there's a lot of fishing left, and anything could happen.
I got to ask you, we had a chance to speak with Captain Ralph Wilkins, a real good guy of the Odyssey. I got to ask you, what's your opinion as far as the different ways of tuna fishing? I know there's the rod and reel, and then you got guys who are out there with the harpoons. You got guys who they got planes, for crying out loud, to help spot these. Do you feel that all's fair in love and war, or do you feel that it should be strictly rod and reel?
No, look, those guys definitely have a place in the fishery. They're a historic part of the fishery, and really, they have an enormous value to the fishery from a management's perspective. You know, by having the planes up there, which is expensive, and nobody would do if they weren't making money, you know, they provide invaluable data with, you know, taking literally pictures of these huge schools of tuna,
yep.
so we can get an accurate feel for how many fish are actually out there. On top of it, all of those guys, you know, are very useful when it comes to tagging tuna. Now, sure, we can all rod and reel tuna and tag them and release them, but those guys have the ability to tag free-swimming fish without, you know, pulling it on a rod and reel. And there's certainly something to be said for that, to be able to just steam up and pop a tag in a fish and not disturb it in its life cycle.
Dave, Joe Rossi here. You know, I got to ask you, it's a kind of a two-part question. What is the most rewarding part about fishing, tuna fishing, and then on top of that, what is the most rewarding part about the show that shows you doing your job?
Well, let's see. I mean, without a doubt, tuna fishing is cool. You know what I mean? And you know, the best part of fishing is really when I go and do something like this, when I take my son on the boat, and like the biggest fish I ever caught, a 1,200-pound tuna, my son was there that day, and so even the money aside, you know, to be there and have my son come out fishing with me and we both catch the biggest fish of our life together, that's invaluable. You know, never mind how much I got paid for the fish. And then the show is just like icing on the cake on top of that. Now all of a sudden I have this huge opportunity, and, you know, the fans have been just so supportive of myself, my family, the other guys of the show, and, you know, that definitely... You know, again, it gives me a real warm feeling to see such a positive response, you know, for participating in something like this. And again, it's something I never imagined. And, you know, to realize, you know, in a sense, you know, like I have families come down to see me. Literally families gather around the TV to watch the show. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, humbling once again that, you know, people like to watch and see what I'm doing. And it feels really good to be a part of that.
Dave, I noticed on the show that when you go to the bayous, there's no negotiating. You always accept the price that they offer.
Yeah, and look, I've been in this business a long time. I know what I'm dealing with when I look at a fish. Long before the buyer prods it, I you know, that's what we call keeping your cards close to your chest. I know what I'm dealing with. The question is, I want to see what he's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my buyer, Mark Gottfried, I've been selling, and, you know, he passed away this fall, and tuna fishing isn't going to be the same without him.
Mm.
But I've been selling fish for him for over 20 years. We have a great working business relationship, you know what I mean? And I trust him, you know, without a doubt. The two or three times in my life that I tried another buyer, I wound up getting, you know, beat pretty bad. In one instance, I got beat out of over $14,000 by going to another buyer. So I learned from my mistakes, you know what I mean? I stuck with him.
You know, I've had the privilege to watch you go through some struggles and times where you explain that you know, there are days you got to make sure you got enough money to be able to get on the boat, whether it's having enough ice, enough bait, you know, enough fuel to get out to a spot. What is it that keeps you getting back on that boat and heading out to sea?
Well, number one, I mean, it's my passion. Again, whether I'm fishing or whether I'm hauling gill nets or doing the tuna thing or I'm running another boat down in New Bedford or I'm doing some log, you know, whatever it is, fishing is what I do for a living. Mm. And without a doubt, it's my passion. I mean, my father sells insurance. He owns an insurance company. And just fishing is something I took to. I started like a lot of people out there. I just went down to the pond with a bobber and a minnow when I was a kid, and it just kind of grew from there.
Now, in the off season, do you, if you're not tuna fishing, I think you said at the beginning of the show that you don't just do tuna fishing; you do other kinds of fishing too, right?
Yeah. Generally, I commercial fish year round.
Yep.
Now, granted, because of the regulatory climate on ground fish, that's been cut back quite a bit. So, in a sense, too, I mean, we are compensated a bit for the show. In one sense, I've been very fortunate as far as other guys in the industry like me. We've all had some pretty drastic cuts, and we've lost a lot there. But at least for me, I fully realize, I was very lucky. And, I'm not getting rich. I'm not driving around in a brand new pickup truck. But, we do get compensated, and that certainly helps a little.
Hey, Dave, you had a little problem with your boat, I heard, at the dock. What happened?
That was my next question to him.
Oh, man, yeah. I it was the nightmare that any boat owner gets. I got a call from the Coast Guard. I was at home watching TV. I was actually watching that show, Moonshiners. It was like 1 in the
great
morning.
Show.
I'm sitting on the couch, just channel surfing. And, the Coast Guard said, hey, your EPIRB's going off. They wanted to make sure that, is the boat, in fact, at sea? I said, no, the boat's at the dock. Let me go down and check. I assumed it was, a mechanical malfunction. You know what I mean? It happens from time to time. Mm. And sure enough, though, I get down the boat at 2 a.m., and there was nothing but the antennas sticking out of the water. So what happened was a through-hull fitting let go. A through-hull, for those who don't know, is how we, access ocean water to rinse down the deck or rinse off fish or keep lobsters alive when we're lobstering. And that fitting let go, so it basically left a 2-inch hole in the boat. Now, yes, we have pumps on the boat, but it was such a big leak, the battery-operated pumps couldn't keep up with it. But we are, in fact, rebuilding her. I'm not going anywhere. In fact, all this week we're in the process of putting a new engine in the boat.
Oh, sorry. So hard merchandise is still with us, is what you're saying?
Oh yeah. No, it would take a lot for me to give up that boat. Because again, my boat is my passion as well. People say you got a hobby,
yep.
And for a guy like me, unfortunately, my hobby is fixing the boat and keeping it running and doing all those things that a lot of boat owners might identify with.
Hey, what kind of boat is it, Dave?
It's a 37-foot.
I think we lost. Did we lose him? Is he still there? We, of course, are speaking with Captain Marciano. I don't know how we lost him, but we're kind of getting the last details of his boat, and all of a sudden he just cut out. And for some reason, I don't know why, but we're getting the phone ringing here in the studio. I don't know.
But a lot of people don't realize that these tuna fish, they swim back and forth across the Atlantic and into the Gulf of Mexico. They're really amazing fish.
Yeah, and it is. I just can't believe when I watch, whether it be the show or when I'm, seeing these boats come in. It's an extremely dangerous job when you're dealing with hooks and harpoons and the quarters on the boat, and it really is. It's an amazing profession to be in, the risks you take, but then the reward that you get too. And as Captain Dave was saying, not only that, but you have such strict regulatory issues that they deal with all the time, and it really is fascinating.
That's in the United States, but unfortunately, other countries don't abide by the same rules.
Yep, that's
so
true.
So the fish that we don't catch, a third world country takes.
Yeah. Yep.
The good guys constantly lose.
I have to say that was my question, though. I was going to ask him about that. That was on my list. Well, we definitely want to thank you, Captain, for coming in. Anything you want to say in closing in regards to not only talking with Dave Marciano, which was very cool to we unceremoniously lost. We accidentally lost him somehow, whether it was a bad connection or not, or you want to talk about that?
The National Geographic Channel. Paul Hebick was a guest a couple of weeks ago on my program. I know you've had him on Monday Night Talk as well.
Oh, I have.
And it's just a really fun show. And, the fish that they catch often goes to Japan. Maybe we got Dave calling back. I don't know.
There's a good possibility. We'll see if we do have him. Do we have him? We'll take him. Let's wrap things up with the captain. As he's going to be, I believe he's going to be joining us in just a second, so we can wrap up We actually have Jeff Deal, who's going to be joining us in a couple of moments as well. State rep for the 7th Plymouth District. Did we lose him again? Okay.
Must be Bay Connection then.
We're going to say goodbye to Captain Lou, who can be heard Sundays from when to when?
11 to noon every Sunday, right here.
Right here, awesome. Right before the award-winning new news that we have
thanks,
here.
Thanks for what you did.
You got it, sir.